When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Bear and Balance. I'm Jeff Berkus. And on the other side of the screen, as always, Lester A. Wiltfong Jr. Lester, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, man. It's a nice dreary day here in the Midwest, for me anyway. How about you?
Did the heat spell break for you? It definitely broke for us this morning.
Yeah. Mid-70s, okay. Rain last night, beautiful. Cloudy all day, so...
Give me that weather happening.
Like, man, where the hell's the sun?
Oh, I'm fine with it. I know that you like the 95 and humid. You and our mutual friend Ross Reed apparently just love the heat. But me, I'm conditioned for like 75. That's my temperature. That's about what we got here today. Love it. We are welcoming a guest today. We're going to have a few guests over the next couple of weeks, and we're really pleased to welcome our friend Luis Medina. Luis, welcome to Bear and Balance.
Happy to be here, guys. What a great time to be alive.
Well, it's camp time. And this camp time is when we have traditionally met a lot of fellow writers, a lot of fellow podcasters, content creators. As we go to camp, it's one of the few times that we can really just kind of hang out, not have to worry too much in the moment of creating content because the bears don't let us while we're there. And so, you know, you and I got to meet a few years ago at Bears Camp. And then, you know, over the years, we continue to kind of meet up and, you know, grab some food. And, you know, we're planning some stuff this fall when I come for a game. But it's really exciting to be able to do these touch points and kind of see where you're at, you know, be able to kind of pump up your stuff as well, because you produce some great content. And so we're really excited to have you. And we haven't talked in a while.
Yeah, it's been a minute. I'm so happy to be here. And I'm happy to be talking about the Bears and talk about the Bears in like a positive way. I mean, how many conversations have we had and just been down about this team and like trying to find silver linings and dark clouds, but like this team just there's a different vibe and I can't ignore it. Ignoring it would just be wrong. The vibes are real. Embrace them.
Yeah. I like the vibes thing. Well, I mean, speaking of vibes, why don't we just start off at the top, right? So Caleb Williams, you know, he's having a camp that going against a pretty good defense. I think we can all kind of breathe a sigh of relief that the defense does look like it's going to be a good one and coming in pretty hot in camp and year three and a lot of starters returning. And so he's really shaping his game up against what hopefully will be a pretty good defense. But what was your thought when the Bears took him? And then what have you seen so far over the summer and now in the start of camp?
And when the Bears took Caleb Williams, once they made a decision to part ways with Justin Fields and make Caleb Williams the centerpiece of what they were doing, I felt at ease because, you know, guys like us, we're all in the trenches in the great Bears Civil War, and trying to be a peacekeeper during those times was not easy, like on me, on my health, on anything. But, like, man, Caleb Williams is such a breath of fresh air in terms of really everything, but mostly that he's not what a lot of people made him out to be. Like, a lot of the negative stuff that people tried saying about him just has turned out to be not true, not accurate, and it's nice. A lot of times in football specifically, we get glowing, you know, recommendations for players and coaches, and then they turn out to kind of be duds a lot of times. But Caleb Williams was kind of the opposite, where it's just like, well, you know, you got to watch out for the diva, you got to watch out for the Hollywood, and just none of that, man. Like, none of that has been an issue. We've had guys say, like Jalen Johnson, talk about how, you know, this guy is different than what I thought he would be. DeMarcus Walker has been vocal in talking about how different Caleb is from what, you know, some of the narratives that have been out there on him. So, like, the one thing I keep coming back when it comes to Caleb is just, like, he's so different. And if any franchise needed something completely different than what they were used to at quarterback, it's the Bears.
Yeah, I mean, it really feels like it's a turning point for the franchise. I mean, there was so much weird stuff out there in the offseason about Caleb. And then, like you said, he's in now. He had a great interview today on the NFL Network with Stacey Dales, and Pep Hamilton was there too. If you haven't seen that, make sure you guys all check that out. Just good stuff. Just anytime you get to see him, you know, off the football field, you hear him talk, you hear him kind of, you hear the passion in his voice, right? I mean, this is a guy that truly loves being a Chicago Bear. He even ended this interview with the Bears. I mean, that's a shtick. You know, it may not last, who knows, but he really seems sincere with who he is and what he's all about. And, you know, the Caleb Cares thing, I mean, that's more than just his foundation. That seems like a way of life. I mean, he wants to care. He wants to be around people that care and, you know, having a passion for the sport. That's who he is. And that's exciting for Bears fans.
You know, Luis, you're kind of my vibes guy. You're kind of the guy that, like, you know, if you say like the vibes are good, right? Like, I kind of, okay, that's reinforcing what I've been seeing. And you're talking about the good vibes. And I'm wondering if you saw the video today out of Giants Lions practice, combined practice, where Malik Nabers had a bit of a skirmish with the Lions corner. Yeah, a little kerfuffle, kind of took a cheap shot at him, and then they threw hands, as they say. And I think that was the story with Nabers, right? Where they're posting crazy highlights all the time of this guy. He's making crazy plays, but also you kind of and he's got an edge. And if you watch the Hard Knocks Giants offseason, they talked about how this guy's a dog. This, right? But he also really kind of strikes me as a guy that is going to do something like this. He's going to maybe mix it up. He's going to maybe get a personal foul. Now, you know, compare that against Roma Dunze, who the Giants were also, you know, interested in and looking at. And of course the Bears were in love with and had ahead of Nabers on their board. But is that this, like, are you seeing this Ryan Poles approach where he's prioritizing some of that football character? And it's different than, say, another organization prioritizing the dog in Nabers over a Dunze, where the Bears are looking at that going, no, I would much prefer the vibes that a Dunze gives off of this good character and the work hard kind of guy. Are you seeing that kind of come together as piece of this overall vibes that you're seeing?
Yeah, I think what we're seeing with Ryan Poles is that he is trying to strike a balance between football character and football IQ and football skill. And you look at the guys that he's brought in the offseason, and really in every offseason, there's been that threading of the needle, whether it's Jaquan Brisker in that first draft class as a guy, he's got a dog, he's kind of a yapper, but he's a guy who plays hard, and he's got a big fan base around him because he plays hard, he's hard-nosed, and he likes to talk a little shit. Darnell Wright is like, he's really even keel. Like when you see him, he presents himself, but on the field, like, you watch him block and he's going to rip your head off. He strikes that balance. Roma Dunze and Caleb Williams have that same vibe where it's, these guys are ballers, but between the lines, they're going to meticulously take you apart. Another guy who really fits that is Tyreek Stevenson. And as a cornerback, I love that because you need to be confident. You need to be a little brash. You also need to understand that you're going to lose some reps at the pro level. You're going to give up some touchdowns. And just the way that he goes about his business. Like, I remember seeing it last year at camp. I'm like, he's going to take some early penalties and he's going to drive us nuts. By the end of the year, he's going to clean that stuff up because that's what rookie cornerbacks do. And he did. And, like, he's the player that is kind of under the radar. He's a starter, so it's kind of hard to say he's under the radar, but compared to some of the other guys that we obsess over, he's the guy for me who, like, there's going to be a breakout year coming, and I want to be ground level for it. I want to be at the ground level and, like, yeah, I remember when this began.
Yeah, I mean, with Stevenson, I mean, we kind of saw it last week. You said, I mean, the Ryan Poles is going after – football guys, right? I mean, he's going after football guys, high character, you know, guys that you want to come in that are, that are, I mean, the passion of his whole draft class, it's all coming through, you know. And going back to Odunze real quick, he's another guy. He had a press conference today, and I can't help but just, I gravitate towards his press conferences. I want to see what he has to say. He has very detailed answers. Like, you could tell, again, go back to the cares thing. You can tell he cares about his craft. You know, he was talking about how right before he got on the podium, he was watching film, and he said he likes watching film right after practice because it's fresh in his head. He was talking a lot about what he learned from DJ and what he learned from Keenan Allen, and how the veterans kind of have kind of taken him under his wing, you know. And it's just like, there's just like this family feeling with the Bears. It's this great camaraderie with the Bears, you know, and a lot of it is because they're all pretty nice guys. I mean, yeah, you want to have some dogs in your team that are just going to go out and just, you know, just kick some butt out there. But this team kind of has those guys on it, but they're going to do it with a smile.
Yeah, there's something I love about Rome Odunze, and it really hit me during the Giants season of Hard Knocks, where, I don't know if you guys saw that episode, but he's meeting with the Giants, and they're kind of having a nice back and forth, and they ask him, like, what's your biggest strength? Like, not your speed or athleticism, like, what's your biggest strength? And he mentioned that, like, he can do everything. He's like, I can line up in different spots on the field. I can run all the routes that you need. I can block. I want to be a leader. I want to be a guy who's at the top of, you know, the marquee in a big city. And I remember when he said that, like, the light bulb went off over my head like it was a cartoon. Because I remember watching his tape and watching his highlights, writing down how, like, he does everything. Like, his highlight reel isn't just him catching deep balls, and it's not just him catching quick plays, and it's not just him in the open field. And I was just having this conversation with a friend on Saturday about how a lot of times draft Twitter and draft Knicks and even football fans will obsess over a wide receiver prospect's highlights, and a lot of them are like blown coverages, broken tackles, like missed tackles in the open field, and we kind of get lost in, oh, hey, like, there are more things to do than, like, catch passes. And I remember, I think it was Keenan Allen who said it, that, like, Rome knows where to line up. And this was, like, in minicamp, and I'm just like, there are so many Bears receivers where you watch them, and they didn't know where they were going on the field. And it led to procedural penalties. It led to guys getting benched and guys not developing. And that Rome already has that in his bag. I'm like, man, the Bears got a pro. Like, pro-ready top 10 pick. Like, those guys don't grow on trees. It's amazing. It's a kudos to that staff, that front office staff, not just Ryan Poles, but Ian Cunningham, Jeff King, the rest of them, man. Like, team effort. Really is a team effort.
Yeah, it's never a good idea to compare, do the comp thing about, you know, especially with you, like, oh, this guy reminds me of a Hall of Famer, an all-time great, right? So let's just say that, like, the personality and the player sort of remind me of in that mold. So I'm not making any comparisons, but I continue to just, it goes right to Larry Fitzgerald for me. Like, just a guy that sort of plays the game in a way that I think everybody universally respected. And I think that this is the type of guy that he can grow into being, like, is somebody that, you know, you're a fan of the Raiders or the Seahawks or something, and you're like, I like Rome Odunze, though. I like him. You know, I mean, that was the kind of Larry Fitzgerald. Like, everybody liked that guy. I mean, it would be hard pressed to find somebody that didn't like Larry Fitzgerald. And I just have this feeling that that's where Rome's career is going. I mean, it's just, I need to see him catch a pass first before I say he's my favorite player. But I've said this before, like, he's going to be my favorite player. I can already tell he's going down that path. Well, let me switch topics to something that's maybe not as fun and sunny, and that is what's happening with this offensive line. So, you know, the moves that were made in the offseason, Coleman Shelton coming in to maybe start at center, maybe be the backup, you know, getting Ryan Bates finally on this team, this you know, this unrequited love that Ryan Poles had, and, you know, finally they've been able to get him over into Navy and Orange. And that was pretty much what the moves were. And now you're seeing Nate Davis kind of struggle to get on the practice field. You're seeing maybe Tevin Jenkins had to leave, you know, earlier this week practice. Darnell Wright might be battling some things. You know, we don't really know until we see injury reports, but it seems like this line's already getting beat up a little bit, and you're seeing a lot of different combinations go through camp. So what's your thought on this offensive line, and are you worried at all that we're going to see some issues with this unit?
Well, my first thought is that I'm glad that they addressed the depth issues that they had last year and didn't address properly. I wrote about it today at BN Bears about how they still have a Nate Davis problem, but unlike last year when your top backup was Jahtzeer Carter, this year you have a handful of guys with starting experience, whether it's Ryan Bates or Curran, or there's another name who's escaping me. Prior, Larry Borum, obviously he's a returning guy, but he has starting experience. And you added Kieran McDijay, and they're going to slow play his development. Obviously, he's still dealing with his injury from last year at Yale, but there are guys who can fit in a pinch to start. The problem is we're already projecting those guys to be starting now because Nate Davis is hurt and Tevin Jenkins has had his issues, and it stresses me out because obviously I wish the Bears could have done more. But every offseason, I remind myself, like, no team gets everything they need done in the offseason. There's always something, and there isn't a player that I would have rather had, like an offensive lineman I would have rather had than the guy the Bears have now. Like, would you rather have an offensive lineman over Rome Odunze? I wouldn't. Would you rather have an offensive lineman over DeAndre Swift, or a free agent offensive lineman over DeAndre Swift? I don't think there was anyone that really made sense for me. I would have loved the center, and I think that's probably like the only nitpicky thing I have. But, man, I just think that this offensive line, if they can get to week one healthy, I'll feel good about it. But Nate Davis needs to step on the practice field. And if he doesn't, then whoever is behind him on that depth chart, whether it's Ryan Bates, if he doesn't win the center's job, or someone else, they need to be ready and they need to play well. Because I don't know if you guys heard the Eberflus press conference today, but it sounds like he's kind of at his wit's end. This is like the second time in as many weeks that he's called out Nate Davis for not being available. And he's looking for just any reason to bench him. And if someone plays well, he's going to do it.
Yeah, it does seem like that. I mean, this is, like you said, he said it now a couple times about Davis. But the good thing is Davis was back practicing today. He seems like he's in a ramp-up mode. He did the same thing on practice when I was there the other day, where he went through the early portion, then when he got to the team stuff, went to the side and did some stuff on the bike and stuff. So Ryan Poles earlier today, he mentioned that they're on track. The whole O-line should be good to go for this Saturday. We'll see what happens. But like you said, I would not be surprised if Nate Davis is coming off the bench. Cutting him makes no sense. Just the way the contract's structured, it would actually cost him a little bit more money to cut him. And look, if Nate Davis is your top backup, that's a lot of money. Yeah, but that's the card they have right now. That's a sunk cost. There's no point in getting worked up over, oh, how could the backup make $11 million? Because the other guy beat him out, and Nate Davis just isn't ready to go. So, you know, Darnell Wright came back today from his injury. He was out there practicing today. Tevin Jenkins, you know, he left practice the other day after stretching, but he was back out there today. So they seem like they're trending in the right direction. But again, today was a walkthrough, so we'll have to see what happens when the pads come on. I think they're going to do pads probably tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
So then, oh yeah. So tomorrow they'll have the pads on. We'll see if they're out there. And if not, then their availability for Saturday may be in question.
And Coach Fu said, we're thudding tomorrow. Thudding tomorrow. And I'm like, all right, I like the sound of that.
That sounds like a defensive coordinator. Right. Yeah. Like they're just saying thudding like that. That sounds like, I don't think a lot of offensive coordinators would say that. That's offensive minded.
Maybe coach, an offensive line coach, maybe a running backs coach, but nah, everyone else.
That's a defensive guy. Okay. All right. Well, hey, we got an exciting announcement. We have a couple of tickets for the Bears Bengals preseason game. So this is the only preseason game at Soldier Field this year, because they're down to the three preseason games and they're two of them are away. So this is the only one that your chance to see some, you know, semi-real football, but we've got a couple free tickets. They're good seats. They're really good seats, donated to us by our good friend, Bill Zimmerman. And so we're going to give those away. Lester, how can people enter to get those Bengals Bears tickets.
So we got two ways to enter. If you're on, if you're on Twitter, you can tweet us at Second City Gridiron. And they're going to use the hashtag Bears Bengals tickets. Then you're going to send us a screenshot of that you are subbed to our pod, wherever you get it, Apple, Spotify, whatever. Send us a screenshot. You're subbed to our YouTube. And if you want to donate $10 to Bears Care, at least send us a screenshot there. And that'll give you three entries to the contest. We're doing a random number draw. So if you do all three of those things, you got three chances to win the tickets. And if you don't do Twitter, that's fine. Then you can send us an email to our secondcitygridiron@gmail.com. That is 2ndcitygridiron@gmail.com with those three screenshots there as well. Sub to our YouTube, sub to our podcast, and a $10 or more donation to Bears Care. And that'll get you three also entries. So three chances to get your name in the hat. And, you know, we're going to do the draw on Monday. And then we're going to have the winner going to have 24 hours to respond, because we don't want to have a situation where we're waiting to give these tickets away and it gets kind of close to game time. So 24 hours, if you don't respond, we're going to redraw.
It's going to be a fun week because the Bears are going to have that joint practice with the Bengals. We gave away those tickets. It's going to be a fun week. I think there's three open practices in a row. And then you've got the preseason game at home. So that's going to be a fun week. Good luck to everybody that wants to try to get those tickets. Real quick, we're going to take a break on the other side of this. We're going to flip it around and ask Luis about some of the defensive stuff and then ask him for his three Bears for the season. Stick with us.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, Luis, I got to ask you about my guy, Torrey Taylor. What did you think when they took a punter that high in the draft? And what do you expect to see from the rookie punter this year?
I felt like I was in the minority in being really excited. Like when the Bears.
I'm in the right place.
Yes. Ah, I'm in my safe space. Listen, one of the biggest problems the Bears had last year was in the punting game. And with Trenton Gill being unable to flip the field, it hurt the offense, it hurt the defense, and obviously it hurt the special teams. So when the Bears brought in Corliss Waitman for like a tryout and they put him on the roster, the 90 man roster, I'm like, yeah, they're gonna draft a punter. And I dreamed that it was Torrey Taylor. Look, he has experience in the Big Ten and weird weather. He's got a boot of a leg. He drops dots. Like, it was perfect. And I loved that Ryan Poles had the audacity to make that pick, because I know a lot of general managers wouldn't have, because fourth round, I can get this dream receiver or this project lineman or this edge that I think we can develop. Like, no, like, I'm going to get the best player on this board. And yeah, it's a punter, but for the next 4 years, I don't have to worry about this position. And it did one of my favorite things that Ryan Poles does or has done, is which is he acknowledges his mistakes by getting better players to replace them. Rather than trying to ride it out and seeing if it'll get fixed, he replaces them. Whether it's he fixed the Chase Claypool mistake with DJ Moore, he replaced the Trenton Gill mistake with Torrey Taylor. There are other examples, but like, it's a trend, and I don't ignore trends.
You know, it's crazy because, you know, the pre-draft process, I think like 75% of Bears people that doing these mock drafts, like the PFF or the mock draft database, they're all taking Torrey Taylor. He was one of the guys. He wasn't in the fourth round. Some of them were like fifth, maybe sixth, but this is what the Bears had. The Bears didn't have a sixth or seventh. They had the fourth. That was the last one they had. So they got him anyway. And, you know, so many Bears fans wanted them. I think when you got him in the fourth round, it's a little bit of a shocker. But look, if you flip Austin Booker into the fourth and get Torrey Taylor, you trade back for Torrey Taylor, Then I think Bears fans are like, oh, that's a great move there. What's the difference? They got the two guys they wanted with the fourth and the fifth round. It's going to be a beautiful thing when Tory Taylor's booming those punts. You know, he's dropping that ball on the five, and it's just kicking the sideways roll out of bounds. It's going to be a beautiful thing to watch.
I'm looking forward to watching him hold the PATs for all those Caleb Williams touchdowns.
Nice.
I think one of the things that, you know, we talked about at the time, Lester, but I think that just bears repeating too, is that this draft was not a particularly deep draft. And because you had some interesting things happening with like the COVID classes and all this kind of stuff, the class was thought to be like, oh, it's pretty great in the first about 100 picks. Like there's a lot of good players in that first 100 picks, and then it just sort of drops off a cliff. So those late picks where you're in like the fifth, sixth, seventh round, a lot of those guys were normally more like undrafted free agent type players. And so, yes, it was a fourth round draft pick, but you have to look at this class. Yeah, all classes are a little different in their size and nature, and some position groups are really strong in some classes and not so strong in others. So you say, oh, Roma Dunze was the third wide receiver off the board. Sure, but in a lot of classes, he's the number one wide receiver on the board. It just happened to be that he was in this amazing class with a couple other really high-end prospects. I never worried about it being a fourth-round pick because I knew that the class depth was not that great. And so a fourth-round pick was probably more like a fifth- or sixth-round pick in a normal draft anyway. And again, like you want those day three picks to be either, like Luis said, you're buying a lottery ticket on some player and you're hoping to develop them, or you're trying to get special teams help, guys that will play on special teams right away. Well, a punter plays on special teams and is a pretty important part of special teams. And so you can't really do much better than that when you have such a high quality prospect out there. I don't think it was crazy. Fourth round pick, sure. But the 2024 draft, fourth round pick doesn't really mean quite what it does in other classes. So that's where I'm at on that.
Generational prospect. That's the
generational punting prospect.
Generational prospect. Yeah. When it comes to day three picks, in recent years, I found myself lumping them all together. Round four, round seven. What's the difference, really? Honestly. So, yeah, just it's kind of a crapshoot on day three. And if you can get a good player, just get good players. That's all I want.
I like good players.
And let the coaches figure out the rest.
Yeah.
I like good players, like Khalil Herbert. For example, just the guy like Khalil Herbert, as I'm wearing the Juice Herbert shirt for no reason other than, you know, that I just think he's a good player. And I want to make sure that people remember Juice Herbert's a good player.
I have a really good Juice Herbert stat.
Hit me.
Led the NFL in yards per carry in 2022 among running backs who qualified for the rushing crown.
Pretty good. He's pretty good. And the only time he hasn't really been pretty good, and by pretty good, I mean really good, at running the football is when he came back a little early from that high ankle sprain, which kind of, you know, he had a couple weeks where he was pretty sapped there. But otherwise, this guy's one of the best runners of the football in the game. To me, like Nick Chubb has that title. That guy's amazing. After Nick Chubb, I think it's an open conversation. And I think you have to actually talk about Khalil Herbert. That's how good I think he is. So I just don't know why half the fan base wants to trade him. All right, Luis, let's move on to defense. I'm just going to kind of give you a blanket. Where do you want to go with this? Are you concerned about the defensive line? Are you more excited about this secondary and what this could be? Like, what's your evaluation of this defense and just how good do you think it could be?
For a long time, I've wanted them to get some defensive end help, but I've reached a point where I want to see what Matt Eberflus does with the cards that he's been dealt. He's a defensive-leaning head coach who is calling the plays, and I thought he did a really good job of taking over for Alan Williams last year, and I thought that because of the situation he was put in, he was forced to get creative and do some different things, and I want to see him do that again. I feel as if, and this is just me thinking outside of the box, I feel as if getting him another solid defensive end would have just made him do – it would have forced him to go back into old habits. It's like, well, I got my guys. we can just run straight 4-3 Tampa Lovey style stuff. But if he doesn't have that extra guy, now he has to be creative. He's got to find some time to put DeMarcus Walker inside. He's got to do some different stuff with Zach Pickens and Jervon Dexter. He's got to maybe find some time for Austin Booker and DeMarcus Robinson. He's going to blitz. Maybe he'll blitz a little more. Maybe he can use Jack Sanborn in different ways and Sue and Osul. I just want – sometimes you have to take away – it's not the training wheels. There's a really good analogy, and I can't think of it, but, like, sometimes you just have to take away that thing that a guy thinks he needs to get the best out of him. And I think that's what's going to happen here with this defense. Like, yeah, it's going to suck not having another – like, I'd love to have, like, prime Yannick Ngakoue, right? But if he's not walking through that door, that's fine. If you're this great defensive leader head coach, then do best with what you got.
You know, for, like, the last month, I like most fans, I'm expecting Ngakoue. You know, I'm like, oh, that makes the most sense. He's been here. His price is slowly coming down because you're watching all the other guys sign around the league, and you're like, yeah, he's not getting, you know, nowhere what he got last year. But here we are now a few weeks into camp. The Bears have had their first the Hall of Fame game. I think they're content. I don't think they're going to make a move. I think they could be waiting at some point to see what some other teams cut. But, I mean, Austin Booker, you know, he has flashed a little bit. He had a nice game against the Texans. You know, in practice when I was there, he was rushing off both right and left side. So I think that he has some flexibility there. You know, last year we saw Jervon Dexter play some defensive end. You know, maybe that's in the cards this year. Maybe Flus will say, hey, look, yeah, he's my three tech. But, you know, I'm going to put him outside against a tackle once in a while and have him rush off the edge because he did it last year against Sewell, and he has some good reps in the Lions game. So, you know, there are some players here. Yeah, we're still hoping a lot of guys to kind of come through and take a next step. But I think they're content. I don't think an edge is coming.
And that's fine. Like, if someone comes, great. If someone doesn't, I'm comfortable with what they got, knowing that, hey, next year is supposed to be a really good edge draft. So, like we said earlier, you're not going to get everyone you need in one offseason, but the Bears got a lot of what they needed. And if they go into next year in a position to get a stud edge to play opposite of Montez Sweat, I'll feel really good about it.
Yeah, it's almost, you know, Luis, you're kind of saying, like, necessity is the mother of invention. And that if you don't need it, like, this defense is like, hey, on paper, all I got to do is I rush four and four gets home and I sit back in this coverage and I'm fine. Right. But if that doesn't happen week after week, rep after rep, you've got to start being creative. And that's what we were calling for. What is happening with this defense where, you know, we're just going vanilla ice cream every week. Nothing's happening. Like, you've got to, like, play some games up front. You've got to start bringing some blitzes. Like, you have to do something. You have to manufacture the pass rush. And if you're not getting home with four, then you can't just sit back and just keep running four out there. You have to start getting creative. And I think that's what you're kind of saying, is that it would challenge his defensive muscle memory to say, like, okay, well, I can't do that. That's not really working. And I'm either going to get fired because, you know, we're going to give up 50 points every week, or I need to start being creative and I need to start using these pieces in different ways and trying to unlock something. And that's, I think, the understated genius of, like, Bill Belichick, where he was always like, I'll pay corners because I can't really replicate that. But what I can do is I can create pass rush through schemes. And that was always his genius. So I get what you're saying. And I think it will be interesting to see if he can find some success doing that.
It's like when I'm in the kitchen, man. Sometimes I want chicken wings and chicken wings aren't on sale. Chicken thighs are on sale. It's like, okay, well, I'm going to make the best meal I can make with some chicken thighs. And, you know, it's good.
You reach for the Frank's Red Hot, it's not there, and you're like, you know what? I got some spices, and you roll some stuff out, and all of a sudden you got a much better wing than if you just would have drenched it with Frank's Red Hot, right?
Yeah.
All right. So I want to. Well, first of all, I got to come over and now try these wings. But let's we do a little category called Three Bears every week, where we talk about giving out hot bowl of porridge, cold bowl of porridge, and the just right. So basically, a guy that exceeds expectations, a guy that really did fail to meet expectations and a guy that delivered exactly what you were kind of thinking. And so I think maybe for this week, for tonight's show, we talk about this for your prediction. Who's a guy that you think's going to be even better than what most people think? A guy that's going to earn hot bowls of porridge this year, from the expectations of where they're at.
I'm going to start with DeAndre Swift. I think as a running back, he really ties the room together. A thing that this group has lacked in recent years is versatility out of the backfield. The offense had gotten predictable at points, and you would know it was coming based on what running back was out there, whether it was Khalil Herbert or Roshan Johnson. You just knew what was coming based on the deployment of the running backs. DeAndre Swift's addition makes it to where that's not a thing, because he can get the ball out of the backfield. He runs routes. He pass blocks. He does a little bit of everything. He's not great at anything, but he does everything well. And that makes for a really good running back in tandem with Khalil Herbert and Roshan and Velus Jones Jr. apparently.
Yeah, we're going to see about that. Listen, what's your thoughts on Velus Jones as a running back?
Yeah, I mean, that's something Coach Luce talked about today. A lot of the beat guys said that they saw him. You know, he was always getting a couple reps here and there, you know, during the camp. But I guess this week, he's a running back this week. He's going to do all the drills with the running backs. He was with them today. Coach Luce said that was their plan for this week. They're going to kind of lead that up to the game this weekend against the Bills. I mean, if you look at him in college, he was pretty good with yards after the catch, right? That's kind of what he did. You know, he's kind of built like a running back. He doesn't really have natural receiver instincts anyway. When you watch him out there, he's always body catching everything. He's not a hands catcher. And that's for your receiver. That's usually what you want. So I think him as a gadget guy come out of the backfield, I think they're going to find some use of him. I think his roster spot is pretty secure because of the new return rules and what he'll give you back there. And plus, you can't teach 4.3 speed. And we've seen him pretty good with the ball in his hands as a returner. I think last year he was third among guys that qualified, 27 yards a carry. Throughout his career, he's averaging, you know, over 9 yards a rush. So here's a guy that, look, we're not going to have him be a big part of the receiving game, but 3 or 4 plays a game, we'll put him in the backfield and let's see what happens.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
Get creative. Get creative, yes. Right? Like that's what it is. It's another ingredient to play with. And you know, there's a lot of fun and interesting players on this offense, which I don't know if I've ever been able to say that about this Chicago Bears franchise, but there's a lot of varied and interesting players. And so it'll be a lot of fun to see, you know, what Shane Waldron can do here. So, all right, let's flip it around. And I don't want to be mean, right? Like this is not like a mean category. Normally it's like, you know, this player just didn't have a very good game or whatever. And so if we're thinking about it from the perspective of a whole season, maybe just say like, who are you worried might not live up to expectations for the Cold Bowl?
I'm worried about Tevin Jenkins.
Okay.
He is so talented and he's so good when he's healthy. And I know he wants a contract extension. He's brought it up that he's gone to the Bears and asked about an extension, and they've put him on the back burner. Meanwhile, since then, they've signed, you know, DJ Moore. And I want him to be healthy, and I'm worried that he is going to try too hard to stay healthy, and it might cause him to not be, pardon me, not be as aggressive as a blocker. And that's just me kind of just guessing and trying to play along with like, okay, if I was in those shoes and I wanted to impress my bosses and then attempt to secure an extension, what would I do? And I would do everything that I could to show that I could be healthy. And sometimes when you try too hard at something, it negatively impacts your process. And that is what I'm afraid of with Tevin. My hope is that I'm wrong and that Tevin is fine and he's healthy, and when the bye week comes, the Bears and Tevin sit at a table and they iron out a deal, because that kind of energy and that kind of skill is something you need on the offensive line. He's mean, he's nasty, but he'll kick your ass with a smile on his face. You need that. And I just I know I sometimes I sound like I want to extend everyone, but man, those offensive linemen, they don't grow on trees. And when you got one, and like, yeah, look, I know his injury issues are his injury issues, but if you can build some depth around him, maybe you can get him at a deal, get him at a bargain.
Yeah, if you look at the history of Jenkins, like you said, I mean, he's always hurt. So, I mean, that's a good pick for a potential cold bowl for the year. I hope it's not, right, because like you, I'm a big Jenkins fan. You know, I think he brings that attitude. I mean, he's a leader in that locker room. I mean, he's one of the older guys. He's in year four now, and it's a pretty young team, but it's kind of weird to think. But yeah, that's who he is on this roster. You know, like you said, he is a nasty, aggressive player, but he's also got that likable personality. So I want Jenkins to be a Bear for life. I mean, he's one of those guys where you're like, man, this would be a great if it works out. He appears to want it. He's talked about it already in his press conferences. And Ryan Poles basically, you know, according to Jenkins, said, let's wait and see what happens. So, like you said, the bye week, let's be healthy to the bye and see what happens. Maybe that'll be a perfect time to get an extension done.
Yeah, look, I think there's mutual interest. Remember, the Bears had Tevin Jenkins in as part of that welcoming committee for Caleb Williams' dinners in Chicago. I don't think they're just inviting Tevin Jenkins just because he's an offensive lineman. Clearly they value who he is as a leader. So if he can just stay healthy, I think the Bears will reward him. Stay healthy.
Now, Luis, I know you're a big fan of nicknames, and you know we're workshopping some Tory Taylor nicknames. You know, he apparently doesn't like the crocodile punter, so we're trying to roll with the Kingpin or the Pinball Wizard. We're playing with those right now. With Jenkins, Lester and I are going to try to get Professor Pancake going, and so if you want to help spread that,
I word, like it.
We will take your help. So, Professor Pancake. So, all right, third bowl of porridge again during the year. This is the just right bowl. Like, hey, this guy kind of met my expectations. Had a good game. This is what I expect from him week in, week out. You can answer it that way, or you can answer like, this is the guy that I'm like most excited to watch this year.
I'm going to put a little twist on the expectations thing. I think at the end of the year, I'm going to look back at my just right guy as Tremaine Edmonds. And okay. We'll be like, oh yeah, this is why the Bears signed him to that big freaking linebacker contract. He got off to the slow start last year. He didn't look right. But by the time around, it was like week 10, he started looking the part, like it was the middle of the season. By the end of the year, he looked like the Tremaine Edmonds that you'd want to give some money to in free agency. I've seen it so often as a Chicago sports fan where a guy gets off to a rough start in their first free agency year, and then they kind of pick it up in year two. And a really good example of that right now is the Cubs with Jameson Taillon. Jameson Taillon had a rough go of it for the first half of his first season with the Cubs. Gave up a ton of homers, gave up a bunch of first-inning runs. They had that really good start against the Yankees in Yankee Stadium, and he's been really good ever since. I think Tremaine Edmonds had, like, there was a game where he had, like, a sack and an interception, and I was just like, maybe this is the game that turns it around. And I was thinking about this a couple weeks ago, or even last week when Brett Taylor from Bleacher Nation was in town. I was just like, I see so much of Jameson Taillon and Tremaine Edmonds in that the resume is good. These are both talented players. The first year after free agency is kind of eh, but that second year, they pick it up. And I think Tremaine's had some good practices. He's healthy. I think he hits the ground running this year, and he's going to meet our expectations of what we wanted out of a big money linebacker.
That's a really good pick. You know, we did a roundtable of bounce back players. That was my pick. I thought Tremaine Edmonds for those same reasons. Second year in the scheme. You know, this Tampa 2-esque type defense, we're familiar with it as Bears fans because it was Lovie Smith's bread and butter, obviously. And all we heard about it way back then was how precise you have to be in your zone reads, your drops, your spacing of the zone, your run fits. Everything is really precise. Year one as the Mike, that's a lot on his plate. We saw T.J. Edwards step in and have a phenomenal first year in Chicago. But the Will spot in this defense, that's a little bit more instinctual where you're more see ball, get ball. The Mike, you got a little more on your plate. You're doing some more things. So I think it's a great pick. I think Edmonds going to bounce back. Year two in the scheme, he'll be more comfortable. And look, we're talking about a guy that was like 20 years old as a rookie. he's like a going into a seventh year, and he's like 26 years old. There's a lot of good football left for Tremaine Edmonds, and I think this coming up year is going to be his best.
I just saw a graph that showed pass coverage from linebackers today, and they plotted them, you know, on my favorite little 2x2 chart, and he was great.
Yeah,
he was in the upper right corner, which is where you want to be, and he was among the best coverage linebackers out there. So, you know, to just. I think a lot of Bears fans were maybe expecting some bigger splashy plays, but like you said, Lester, like those tackle numbers are really kind of pushed towards the will. And all of you can remember Lance Briggs, he'd always have a big tackle numbers. And then I think there was an expectation with like Urlacher always like was right there, or he maybe beat out Briggs, on the tackles. Yes. Brian Urlacher is a Hall of Famer and defined that position. Like that's right. Why he's in the Hall of Fame is because he was able to transcend scheme. He was first team All Pro in two completely different schemes because he's an amazing football player. And that's why he's a first ballot Hall of Fame linebacker. You know, give the guy a little bit of time. He's got new teammates. He's got a new situation. I think it's a great pick, Luis. And I think you're right. And I think for this defense to get where it needs to be, he does need to take that step and be that player. So, okay. Well, that's our categories that I wanted to run through with you, but you know, you do some great work. I'm sure everybody's familiar with it, but please let everybody know where they can find you.
Well, you could find me at Bleacher Nation, bleachernation.com, at @BN_Bears. That's where I do the tweeting. Sometimes I tweet from my own account, which is LCM1986. Man, I'm really looking forward to this year at BN Bears. I've been doing this with BN since 2017, and it's been a journey. So many different quarterbacks, so many different coaches, so many different offensive coordinators and schemes. And the constant has been Bears fans with hope. And it was really easy to lose hope last year. The first 5 or 6 weeks were just a mess. And it tested the patience of every fan that I know and myself. And after this offseason, my hope is that the juice was worth the squeeze, because they did so many things well this offseason. They hit a lot of checks. They knocked off a bunch of things off their to-do list. They did things that I'm not accustomed to the Bears doing. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the next step is. I always tell people, like, they ask me, what is BN Bears? And I say, my goal at BN Bears is to tell the story of the Chicago Bears year every year. That's the goal. I want you to read BN and be like, this is what the Bears were this year. I just think that this year is going to be really interesting, and not just because it's another football season. Like, every football season is interesting. It's on its own. But this year just feels so different that I kind of want to just go into it with like total blank slate with no expectations, because I kind of just want to see things happen. But I've got some expectations, and that's a good thing. Expectations are a good thing. It's a Joe Maddenism. It's like, if you don't have expectations, that means no one thinks highly of you. I think people think highly of this Bears team, and with good reason.
Yeah, it's definitely it's a good time to be a content creator. Yes. So I'll tell everyone out there listening, everyone watching, you know, find your Bears content people that you really enjoy. And look, I love going to your site. I think it's one of the best sites out there. You know, find the people you enjoy, read their stuff, promote their stuff, and that's who you're gonna that's who will stick by you during the good and the bad times.
This having a guest on this show is not always an endorsement of that person's work. This is an endorsement of your work. We like you. We believe you're part of our close crew. And so we're really excited every time we get to interact with you, and appreciate you coming on tonight. And for all of you out there, make sure you're getting in. If you want to see this preseason game, Bears Bengals live again, Bill Zimmerman's tickets, they are good tickets. Yeah. It'd be a lot of fun. Go ahead and put in for that. If you can make that game, if you can make a donation to Bears Care, that nothing wrong with that. Like that's going to go to a good cause, give you an extra entry into that. I'm going to be back later tonight. So if you're listening to this, on Wednesday morning, okay. But I'm going to be back later tonight to recap episode 1 of Hard Knocks on a live stream. And then Lester and I are going to be back tomorrow with our friend Jonathan Wood to talk about the practice that he's going to tomorrow. So a lot of content coming from us here in short order. Luis, thank you again for joining us. And until next time, Until next time, everybody, bear down.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.